John chapter 20. I'm not going to reread the portion you already did read in the opening of worship, but I just want to pick up there in the narrative and continue on through that chapter, because today we're looking at peace only through Christ's resurrection. And the real peace that Jesus said he wanted to give to his followers in John 14:27 is only experienced in experiencing the resurrection of Jesus in your life. His resurrection power, his resurrection life in your life. Then and only then can you truly have his peace in your life. So we're going to pick up the narrative of John 20 and verse 10. It says, "Then the disciples went away unto their own home." Talking about Peter and John, because Peter and John were going to the sepulcher, and they intersected Mary when she was returning from the sepulcher. Now, she did not realize Jesus has risen. She was thinking somebody took the body. And the disciples went there. John outran Peter. We're not sure if he's more excited or if he's just faster. Who knows? But Peter, as impetuous as he always is, he may not have got there first, but he went in first. And so we pick up here after all of that, and they return to their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. So she stayed behind. Now, another reference speaks to the other women that traveled with Mary that morning staying behind as well. John just picks up and focuses on Mary. And this is Mary Magdalene, whom 9 demons were cast out of by Jesus when she trusted him as her Savior. It says, Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth 2 angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet. One of the commentaries I read thought made a statement to the fact that this is very similar to the cherubim on the mercy seat. They're on either side of the mercy seat. Just an interesting picture of Jesus, who is our mercy, our source of mercy with the Father. Here in this resurrection tomb. And it says they were sitting there where the body of Jesus had lain. And then say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." They're saying, "Why are you weeping? A good thing's happened here. And you were told about it." And she says, "Because they've taken the Lord away, and I don't know where they put him." And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary," and she turned herself. Notice that, she turned herself. So the picture here is, she's looking in the grave, she sees those angels where Jesus had been, and then they're asking her why that she's weeping, and then Jesus is behind her in the garden, and he asks her why she's weeping. She glances at him to acknowledge him, thinking he's a gardener, not realizing it's Jesus. And then looks back in the grave, and he calls out her name. When he calls out her name, she realizes who it is, but she's looking where he had been instead of where he is. And she had to turn back and look at where he was. I think there's a lot of times we miss out on the peace of the Lord because we're looking in the past instead of looking where he is now, in the present and in the future. The crucifixion's over. The grave's over. Resurrection life is here. We need to leave the past in the past and move on in the future with the Lord. So he goes on, and Jesus is talking to her and calls out her name, and she knows it's him. She turns to him and says, "Rabboni," our master, teacher. She knew it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples. Now catch this. She came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and he had spoken these things unto her. So she tells them, I've seen Jesus and he told me these things to tell you. And the same day was even, and the first day of the week, when the disciples, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now we're going to look at something here in a little while in Mark's gospel. But when she tells them this, that she saw Jesus and told them what he told her to tell them, Mark tells us they didn't believe her. So they're spending more hours in mourning and in sorrow than was necessary because they chose not to believe. Mary spent a little bit longer in mourning and sorrow, not even realizing Jesus was the one talking to her until he spoke her name. There's so many times we miss out on the peace because we don't believe. Faith in the risen Savior is the key to our peace and our experience of peace with him. He says unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now they believe. Now they're joyful. Now their mourning is turned into joy. And the Lord, and then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So he says that word peace again. In his risen condition, he speaks to them peace, and they because of their faith in his resurrection, now they're experiencing his peace. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to read the rest of it. We'll look at it here in just a little bit. But I wanted you to see those two statements that Jesus makes about peace. And the connection of their experience of his peace was faith. And the same thing is true for us today. For us to experience the peace of forgiveness sin, it requires faith. For us to experience the peace of the joy of the Lord, it requires faith. For us to experience peace in the future, in the promises of God and what God says is going to happen requires faith. My friend, our experience of peace depends on our faith in the resurrected Savior. Whether it be for salvation or sanctification, this key is the same. Your peace experience is all about your faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one that is here, each guest, each person. We thank you for each one. We pray that you'd work in every heart as only you can do, that you'd be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're talking about God's peace through the resurrection. And we see these people experiencing this peace at different times, just like today. There's some people here that they've experienced the peace of salvation already. There's other people here today that probably have not experienced that. There's some believers here that are enjoying the peace of communion and intimacy with the Lord and growing in a relationship with him, that are engaged with him on a regular basis. And they feel a connection with him, a very intimate and personal connection with him. While there's other Christians here, they've been saved for many years, and they don't experience that peace the same way. You know, this peace is available to all of his followers right here. But because of faith, they experienced it at different times. And my friend, I want to encourage you to experience God's peace today in your life. Don't leave here today without experiencing his peace in your life. See, they experienced this peace in the resurrection from seeing Jesus alive. That's the connection here. Mary saw Jesus alive first. She experienced that peace first. Peter and John could have experienced that peace if they would have stuck around a little bit longer. But they were in a hurry to get home for whatever reason. But they experienced it later that evening, on the first day of the week in the evening. Tonight, we're going to have an evening service. It's the first day of the week, and tonight evening, we're going to have an evening service, and our young people are going to lead that service. It's for the whole church family. It's not a teen service just for youth. It's for the whole church family. It's the opportunity for the teens to minister to us. And I always look forward to that time, and we can be here and participate in that and encourage them in their ministry as well. But the other disciples experienced this later that evening as they were assembled there in fear of the Jews. Remember, they were still mourning his loss. They weren't experiencing his peace. They were mourning his loss, needlessly, might I add, because he has risen already. But they were still mourning his loss. But he came into that room. It was all shut up. In his glorified body, he was not restricted by time and space. He just walked right through the walls into their presence. And that was shocking enough. But then he showed them the prints in his hand and in his side where the spear pierced his side. And they realized it was a glorified body as the resurrected Savior. And then they had that peace. They had that joy because of faith. But their faith was in what they saw. But Thomas wasn't there. We'll pick up the narrative. Look in verse 26 and verse 25. It says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." And they're speaking to Thomas. He's addressed in verse 24, and he didn't believe. He said, "Except I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. And he says the same thing again to Thomas. "Peace be unto you." Just like he said to the disciples a week prior, and Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus, he wasn't there when Thomas says, I won't believe until I see and I touch. There's a lot of people like that. What I can't see, what I can't touch, I don't believe. That's a real sad place to live. There's a lot of things in the natural world you're just not going to believe without some faith. Because you're not everywhere. And you don't know everything. And there's a lot of real stuff out there you're missing out on because you haven't touched it or felt it. Thomas was that way. And he wasted an entire week of the peace he could have had because of his unbelief. But when he saw, remember, Jesus wasn't there when Thomas says, "I won't believe until I touch and feel." Notice what Jesus says. He enters the room, says unto Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Remember, Jesus wasn't present when Thomas said that. Because Jesus is God and he knows all things, he knew exactly what was in the mind of Thomas. And he told Thomas exactly what was in his heart and mind. And he says, "Don't stay faithless, believe. Don't cheat yourself out of the joy and peace you can have in faith. Believe. If it takes seeing to believe, then believe. Just believe." My friend, I think Jesus might be saying that to us here today. Just believe. Just believe. Because you can enjoy so much peace and joy if you'll just believe. See, they saw him because they came to see him. Now remember, they came to see him on the first day of the week. Guess what today is? Class, the first day of the week. The Sunday. The Lord's Day. That's why we worship on Sunday. Every Sunday is a celebration of the risen Savior. We celebrate his fulfillment of all the Old Testament in his death, burial, and resurrection for us every Sunday. They came to the sepulchre not remembering what Jesus told them, and he told them like 6 or 7 times what was going to happen. "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise." He told them that several times, getting them ready for it, but when it happened, they didn't remember. You know what that tells me? We humans, we may know the facts, but sometimes when life faces us, we forget. And because we forget, we fail to experience peace and joy. See, Mary experienced this peace and joy first. She was one of the ones that came to this tomb. There's another Mary. There's other women that came to the tomb. Peter and John came to the tomb. The reason they experienced this is because they came to see Jesus. My friend, when you come to worship, I hope you come to see Jesus. Yeah. Maybe not with your physical eyes, but with your heart. I hope you don't come to see a preacher. I hope you don't come to see a singer. I hope you come to see Jesus. The preacher is supposed to be a tool to help you see Jesus as he preaches the Word of God. The singer is to be a tool to help you see Jesus as they sing about the Lord. But my friend, the focus of our attention ought to be Jesus. See, they came on Sunday to see Jesus. But notice how they came. They came early. I mean, this was a priority to them. The Bible tells us they came before sunrise. This is something they got up early for. And they came with purpose. Mary and the other women came with spices to anoint the body of Jesus because they were in a very great hurry to get him off of the cross and into the tomb before sundown in preparation for Sabbath. And on this particular week, the day of preparation, which is Friday, is seen as just as holy a day as Sabbath itself. Normally, the preparation for Sabbath on every other Sabbath starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But on this Sabbath, this special Sabbath, the week of unleavened bread, the Passover week, the day of preparation was also seen as a holy day. And they needed to have everything, they needed to have all this taken care of before the preparation started. So they had to get him into the grave quickly. They didn't have time to properly put all the spices on. So they brought those spices to bring to Jesus to put on his body out of respect and out of love and appreciation for who he was to them. So they came early, they came purposefully, and they came excitedly. Mary, she went in there and she saw the tomb was open. That excited her. And she saw it first, and she saw that Jesus wasn't there. That excited her, and she wanted to go tell other people. My friend, when you see the reality of Jesus in his resurrection, it gets you kind of excited, and you ought to want to tell people about it. And Mary wanted to tell people about it. And the first two people she came in contact with was Peter and John, and she told them, hey, his body is missing. Now, she didn't understand the whole reality of it, but she was still excited about it. And she told them, and they got excited, and they ran. These people were excited. And after Mary heard Jesus use her name, and she knew that he had risen, she even got more excited. See, when we're excited about something, we make it a priority, and we do it with purpose. They came to see Jesus, and it was a priority to them. They saw him because they came before him on Sunday, the first day of the week. They came to where he was. Now, they thought he was still in the tomb. The point is, they wanted to be near him. See, they came to the tomb because that's where they had seen him last. They wanted to come to that place to prepare his body, to honor him. Maybe they wanted to come there. Maybe Peter and John came there just to make sure everything was okay still and just to be near where he was. You know, a lot of times when we lose somebody we care about, just being in a place that reminds me of them helps us to have a little bit of comfort. Maybe looking at a picture. I love pictures because it makes us remember good stuff, right? But, you know, they came here. They wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. And lo and behold, they were in more of a presence of Jesus than they planned on. But the point is, they came to be near him. See, Jesus wants to meet with us whenever and wherever, each and every day. You need a place where you meet with Jesus every day. But this is a place you can meet with Jesus a couple of times a week. Amen. We'd love to have you. See, he wants us to gather together, especially on this day, the first day of the week, corporate worship. You can personally worship anywhere you want, anytime you want, but corporate worship is something that ought to be important to us as well. See, he's happy to gather together with his people. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, I think that's in your notes, But in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16, it says, "This is the covenant that we will make with them for the, after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds will I write them." Talking about a personal relationship with the Lord. And it says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Talking about forgiveness and salvation. He puts it as far as the east is from the west. That's a those points do not ever meet, my friend. And when you trust Jesus as your Savior, He removes your sin, and he promises never to remember it anymore. He says, "Now remission of the where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." My friend, Jesus is the only sacrifice for our sins, and we need to receive Him as such. And it goes on and it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." The only access I have to the throne of God is through Jesus Christ. That's why every biblical prayer is in Jesus' name. Because He's our only access to the Father. He's the only access we have to His righteousness. He's the only access we have to forgiveness. He's the only access we have to a right relationship with the Holy God of heaven. It's only through Jesus and through His shed blood and through His resurrection life. And that's what He says in verse 20. "By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil." That is to say, His flesh. Talking about dying on the cross for our sins. "And having a high priest over the house of God." Listen to this. Catch this. Jesus is the Passover lamb that was sacrificed. And Jesus is also the high priest that brings us to God. What a great blessing that is. He's the fulfillment of all of that for us. And He says, "Because of our high priest, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance and faith." There's that peace, that faith in the risen Lord, that faith in what He says. "Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water, let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." See, God wants us to worship privately every single day. But God wants us to worship collectively, especially on the Lord's Day. See, they came into His presence. They came to be with Him, not just be with each other. They came to focus on them, not focus on themselves. They came because of who He was to them. They had been following Him. They had trusted Him. And they wanted to be near Him. And they came to experience closeness with Him. And they experienced a closeness with Him they weren't planning on. But the reason they experienced it is because they came. My friend, when we don't come, we miss out. When we don't get along with God through the week, we miss out. When we don't gather together collectively in corporate worship, we miss out. They experienced what they experienced because they were available. And they came to be with Him. Mary experienced it first because she was available first. She stuck around longer. But the disciples experienced it later that same day. At least everybody but Thomas. But they experienced it because they came. See, true worship is about connecting with the Lord. And the sad reality is, I wish and I hope every person here will truly connect with the Lord in this. And it would be true worship for you. But I can't determine that. I can point you to His Word. I can point you to Him, but I can't make you connect with Him. I can point you to Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. I can point you to what the Bible says about the gospel of Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. I can explain it to you, but I can't make you believe in Him. I can't make you believe that He died for your sins. I can't make you believe that He was buried. And I can't make you believe that He rose again the third day. I can only tell you about the reality of it, but I can't make you experience it. And I can't make you experience the peace that comes with it. I can tell you about how He wants you to live. I can tell you about what the Bible says about Christian living. I can tell you about what the Bible says about Bible doctrine. But I can't make you believe it and experience the peace that comes from it. See, they experienced it because they made themselves available. See, they received this peace because they came to be with Him. When we come and worship, whether it's private or corporate, we need to come to be with Him. We need to come to connect with Him. We need to come to hear from Him, speak to our hearts through His words. See, Those that came to receive it from him, they received it. The others that did not receive it till it came a little bit later, they chose not to receive it because Peter and John were told, he's risen. And they didn't believe. Thomas was told, we've seen him, but he didn't believe. See, that tells me we choose what we're going to believe. And what we choose to believe affects our experience with the Lord of his peace and joy in our lives. My friend, I want to encourage you to choose to believe the truth about the risen Savior today. See, this peace is experienced by being with the Lord. This peace is experienced by receiving it from the Lord. This peace is experienced by trusting in the Lord. But you got to receive it to experience it. And then not only peace by seeing the risen Savior, but peace from hearing him speak. Remember, they heard him speak on the Lord's Day. I can't stress that enough. Amen. Got a lot of confusion about that these days. But they came to hear him on the Lord's Day. Mary heard him first. The other disciples later, all except for Thomas, he was a whole week later. But they heard him because they came to be with him. They heard him speak. See, they had forgotten. This is what amazes me. I haven't figured all this out. I may never figure all this out. But it amazes me how many times Jesus told them what was going to happen to prepare them for it, so when it happened, their faith would remain strong and would not be shaken. However, when it happened, what happened? They lost heart. They didn't remember what he said. Sometimes the realities of our life can cause us to forget the facts we know. Somebody once says, don't doubt in the night what God gives you in the light. And that really fits here. Because Jesus had walked with them and told them the truth over and over and over to build their faith. But when the darkness of his death came, they forgot. And in fact, when they came to the tomb, they fully expected, even though it was the third day that he told them he would rise again, they fully expected his body to be there. And instead of being excited it wasn't there, they were disappointed it wasn't there. They forgot. Here's the amazing thing. The enemies of Jesus remembered. They said, remember what he said. If you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. We do not want him getting any credit for raising. So they put a seal on the stone so nobody could take his body away. The enemies of Jesus remembered. The followers of Jesus did not. How sad is that? You know what that tells me for us humans? When we're close to something and the reality of life just shakes us to our core, it's just so easy to forget. My friend, Jesus wants you to remember him today and experience his peace in living with him forever. See, Jesus had told them all of the details. And Mary and the women came that night, that morning, early. And they stayed behind. And it was Mary that heard Jesus use her name. She saw him first, then the other women. You know, a lot of times, even in the Jewish culture, women were not, their word was not really seen as a valid testimony. The sad reality is, even in American culture today, and we call ourselves so enlightened, there's a lot of male chauvinism today, and women are belittled often. I think it's really wonderful that women saw Jesus first. Yeah. Guys, we need to get on the program here, amen? Yeah. Just because if a woman tells you something, don't just doubt it because it's a woman telling you and she's all emotional and everything. Because she might have something figured out that she can help you with, amen? Because she's all emotional and everything. But I think it's interesting that the women saw him first. But then later on that night, he comes and reveals himself to the others. Mary and the women spent some time with Jesus. They heard him speak. And he told them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren that I go into Galilee and I'll see them there." See, that night when they were in that room, they should have expected him to show up. But because they didn't believe what the women said, they didn't expect him to show up. We've got to believe what people say, especially when they say what Jesus said. Amen? We've got to believe God's word. See, their faith was increased because they heard him speak. Mary's faith was increased. She didn't think he was risen. She thought somebody stole his body. But when Jesus spoke her name, when she was looking into that tomb, she knew it was him. And her faith was increased because she heard the word of God, the word of Jesus. The disciples, they could have had their faith increased if they would have listened to the word of Jesus through the women, but they chose not to. But when Jesus came into that room that night, their faith was increased. Thomas could have had his faith increased if he would have believed the testimony of the other disciples, but he chose not to let his faith be increased. My friend, don't let your faith not be increased. Listen to the word of God. Listen to what God has spoken to someone else and let your faith be increased. The Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God." Every time you read this book, it ought to increase your faith. Every time you hear a message preached from this book, it ought to increase your faith. My friend, that's why this book is given to us, to help us have faith in the Lord and help us grow in that faith in the Lord so we can experience his peace and joy through the trials of life. Their faith was increased because of the word of the Lord. Go with me to Mark. I mentioned it earlier. I want you to go see this for yourself, because there may be some doubting Thomases in here today. I don't know. Mark chapter 16, if you would, please. Look at the irony of this. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 9. Now, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week." Anybody that says, "Well, he didn't really rise on the first day. He revealed himself to his disciples on the first day." You got a problem with that verse right there. Because it pretty much says, "When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week." That's pretty clear. Amen. "He appeared first to Mary Magdalene," because she was available, "out of whom he had cast seven devils. She heard him speak her name. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they, as they mourned and weep." Now, notice what they're doing. They're mourning and weeping. This is the third day. They ought to be expecting his return, his resurrection, because that's what he said he was going to do. You know what? There's a lot of Christians who are going to be shocked when Jesus comes back in the clouds. He's told them he's coming back, but they're not remembering that. The reality of life is causing them to forget. They're not looking for it. They're not anticipating it. They're not experiencing the joy and peace that it should bring, which is what 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us it ought to give us. They were still mourning and weeping. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. That's exactly what I told you, right? They chose not to believe. They chose to continue mourning and weeping instead of enjoying peace and joy. "And after he had appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country." These are the two disciples on the road to Emmaus that Jesus met with before that evening when he met with the group of them in that room. Those two disciples went and told it to the residue, the rest of the disciples. Neither believed they them. So here you have these women, several women, telling them this. They don't believe it. Then you have two disciples coming back and telling them the same thing. They still don't believe it. And after, the Bible says in verse 14, "Afterward he appeared unto them, unto the 11 that sat at meat." This is all the disciples barring Judas who had died. "And he upbraided them because of their unbelief and the hardness of their heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen." So Jesus gets on to them for not believing. My friend, I want to encourage you. Don't get in trouble for not believing. I'm here to tell you to believe, okay? I'm here to tell you to believe what the Word of God says. I'm here to tell you to believe there's a risen Savior. I'm here today to tell you to believe and receive Him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Master. Experience His resurrection power in your life. Experience the peace and joy of trusting in Him today.
Yes.
Don't get in trouble for not believing. We need to believe. Believe what God says in His Word. See, as your faith is increased through the Word of God, according to Isaiah 26, I'm not going to reread it or anything. We just looked at it a few weeks ago. You can read it. It's in your notes. But according to Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, as your faith increases, your experience of peace increases. We see it in the disciples. Each one, as they had faith, they had peace. As they chose not to have faith, they chose not to have peace. Our faith and our peace are connected directly. God wants us to experience His peace. See, they received this peace because they came to Him and heard Him. Mary Magdalene first, then the other two disciples, and then the 11 disciples together. But they came and they heard Him and saw Him and experienced that peace. Mary Magdalene and the other women, they left that garden differently than they came. Why? They've been with Jesus. I hope you leave here today different than you came because of really connecting with Jesus. Maybe that connection is in biblical salvation, being born in the family of God by receiving and embracing Jesus, not just believing the facts about Him, but in receiving Him and believing on Him personally as your Savior. Just like that chair. You knew the facts that it would hold you up. I doubt anybody here really, you know, examined the chair to make sure it was going to hold them up. You knew the facts. They wouldn't have a chair here that wouldn't hold me up. It looks sturdy. But until you sat on that chair, you really didn't exercise faith in that chair. There's a lot of people know the facts about Jesus. They know the facts about the gospel. But they have not embraced Him personally and received Him as their Savior. Somebody once says, don't miss heaven by 18 inches from your brain to your heart. Just knowing about Jesus doesn't make you go into heaven. You got to believe in Jesus. The Bible tells us in James, even Satan believes in God. Even Satan believes in Jesus, and even he trembles at the reality of Him. But he's not going to bow down to Him. He's not going to submit to Him. He's not going to receive Him, and he's not going to follow Him. And he's not going to go to His heaven either. My friend, to go to His heaven, to be with Him, you've got to know Him more than just in the facts. You've got to embrace Him in your heart and life. You got to receive Him as your Savior. See, the others were impacted as they saw and heard Him alive. And we can only be impacted by Him when we truly come to Him in faith. When we truly come to Him believing in who He is as God in the flesh. And when we truly come to Him believing in what He has done in His death, burial, and resurrection. And we truly come to Him believing that He is alive. He's alive today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what they say.
Yeah.
My friend, we've got to believe in Him. We've got to receive Him. And then peace from living a new life in Him. Mary experienced it. Later on, the disciples experienced it. A week later, Thomas experienced it. How long is it going to be before you experience it? If God's speaking to your heart right now, saying you need what this guy's talking about, I can tell you there's only one entity in the universe that wants you to put it off, and that's Satan. Satan doesn't want to lose your soul. He doesn't want you to receive Jesus. He doesn't want you to go to heaven. He doesn't want you to spend eternity with Jesus. He wants you to put it off. You know why he wants you to put it off? Because you're going to get busy with life. He will make sure you get busy with life. He will make sure you get distracted by something. He will make sure something else gets on your mind before this day is over that will push the reality of God speaking to your heart out. Don't put it off. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If he's speaking to your heart today, believe him today. Christian friend, if he's speaking to your heart today about some things that he wants to change in your life, respond to him today. Don't put it off. There's no better day than today to get right with the Lord. Yes. See, these ladies were renewed through peace of Jesus' resurrection. They told others about seeing him. They didn't believe. They told others about hearing him. They didn't believe. They told others about how they could see and hear him too. But even though they were in that room, they still weren't believing until Jesus showed up. But here, listen to this. Hold on. Listen. Just because the others didn't believe their word didn't change their joy. Did you get that? Just because others didn't listen to what they had to say didn't change their peace. They knew what they saw. They knew what they heard. And they were not going to let anybody rain on their parade. Amen. We so often let the doubters discourage us. And we so often let the naysayers steal our joy. My friend, I preached a couple of Sundays nights ago. Don't give your joy away. If your joy is in the Lord, it ought to be forever. Amen. Don't give your joy away. Don't let others take your joy away. If they want to be miserable, let them be miserable. But don't let them drag you into that. These ladies, they didn't let the doubters of the disciples steal their joy. They were still enjoying the fact that Jesus was risen. Didn't care if anybody didn't believe them. Don't let people steal your joy and your enthusiasm for Jesus. See, the disciples were renewed through the peace of Jesus' resurrection. They're a little bit slower on the uptake than the ladies were. But they finally got there. See, they limited their own experience. Get this, don't miss this. They limited their own experience of the peace by choosing not to believe. They could have been happier hours earlier. Thomas could have been happier a whole week earlier. Yeah. Don't cheat yourself out of the joy and peace that the risen Savior can give you. Man, I'll never forget the day I got saved. I don't care how bad life gets. When I think about the day I got saved, I get joyful. Because I remember how I felt about the guilt of my sin. I remember how I felt when I realized my sin separated me from God. I realized how helpless I felt when I realized I couldn't fix it. But when I realized Jesus already fixed it, and when I realized he did it for me, and when I realized I could receive what he did for my sin, boy, I tell you what, the floodgates of joy just broke wide open. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how bad life gets, when I remember that day, I still get happy. Yeah. I still sometimes weep with joy. I still get goosebumps. I told somebody said, how you doing the other day? I said, I'm blessed beyond measure. I'm a child of the King. They said, man, you give me goosebumps. Yeah. Don't let somebody steal your joy. Don't let it take too long. Don't limit your experience of God's peace in your life. See, Peter and John, they were there that morning. If they would have just stuck around a little bit longer, I don't have a clue what was so important to get back home to. But they had to get home. But Mary and the women, they stuck around a little while in that tomb. And they met Jesus first. Sometimes you got to wait a little while to meet with Jesus. But it requires a choice. To experience his peace and joy requires a choice of faith. He's not going to push it on you. He's not going to force it on you. He just offers it to you. You have to receive it. Because they were not willing to listen to the testimony of others, they chose to miss out. Thomas, he finally was renewed by the peace of Jesus' resurrection. Thomas was convinced. Notice this. Did he ever touch him? No. Sometimes we say some of the silliest things when we're not believing. Thomas didn't have to touch him. In fact, Jesus says, go ahead and touch me. Thomas didn't have to touch him. When he saw Jesus, it was done. He embraced Jesus and he says, my Lord and my Master, my God, my Lord and my God. My friend, that's where peace comes, when we truly embrace him as our Lord and our God. And notice, any doubters about the deity of Jesus? Jesus did not correct him for calling him God, because he was that all along. Amen. He was God before he came in flesh. He was God while he was in flesh. And he was God in his glorified body, and he is God seated right now on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for all those who believe in him. Thomas had it right. He just was a little slow on the uptake, but he got there. The last thing I want you to do is think about this. Look there at the last part of verse 20, the last verse. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You know why this book is written? That you might believe. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He recorded this message by human hand. It's God's word recorded by man for man. But it's God's word. He wrote this for you to believe. And as you believe, you experience his life in you, his joy in you, his peace in you, his forgiveness in you. It only comes as you believe. Did you know back in John 11, 25, before all this happened? Remember, from John 13 all the way to John 19, those events happened all this last week. John 20 happened today, nearly 2,000 years ago, the resurrection. But John 19 to 13 happened this week prior of 2,000 years ago. But John 11 was when Jesus rose Lazarus from the grave. And when Martha came to Jesus and says, if you would have come sooner, you could have healed him. Listen to what Jesus tells Martha in John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He doesn't say, I will be. He says, I am. You know why? Because God is eternal. And his truth is eternal. He's not was the resurrection. He not will be the resurrection. He is the resurrection. Even here, before he ever went to the cross, before he ever died, before he ever rose again, he was the resurrection. Why? Because he's the Messiah sent from the Father to be the Savior of the world. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth, there's the key, faith. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? My question is to you, do you believe that? This promise is to whosoever. Whosoever believes shall never die, but live forever. You can be a whosoever today. When I was a boy at summer camp, I was a whosoever. Thank God for that. If you've never trusted Christ, you can be a whosoever today. See, he's the only source of this for all who will believe. There is no other source of forgiveness but Jesus. There's no other source of eternal life but Jesus. There's no other source to the Father but Jesus. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only source for this peace and joy. He that believeth in me shall live. He's the only source. And he's the only source for this for every person individually. And Jesus says to Martha, believest thou this? You got to believe it personally. You got to believe it individually. Somebody says, well, of course I'm going to heaven. A preacher told me I was. Guess what? A preacher can't make you go to heaven. Of course I was. My parents baptized me when I was a baby. Your parents can't make you go to heaven. Jesus did not ask Martha, did your parents believe this for you? Did your priest believe this for you? No. He said, believest thou this? My question to everybody here is, believest thou this? Friend, if you've never trusted Christ, your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation.
Christian friend, you've gotten a little cold on the Lord and you're losing the joy and the power of the resurrected life, today's the day to get it right. Believest thou this? Let's pray.